Let's talk turkey. For as long as I can remember, we always had roast turkey for our Christmas dinner. And yes, for days afterwards, we had that turkey in whatever kind of leftovers my mom could concoct. Now, I roast a turkey whenever I'm in charge of a Christmas meal and feel like I'm continuing a family tradition. But I'm a little more picky about where I get my turkeys these days. I want to know how and where they're raised, what they eat, and how fresh they are. Add one more factor into the equation, sustainability, and you start to get a picture of the kinds of questions asked by three researchers at the University of British Columbia.
They would be produced in a building, usually with open sides, and usually on litter, fed a fairly high-quality diet, and produced fairly quickly. The alternative production systems, that is organic or free-range, involve birds that would tend to be grown slightly more slowly, and there would be a guarantee that those birds would have seen the out-of-doors during their production system. They would also not have been produced with regular dosages of antibiotics, and the feeds that they consume would have been organically produced.
That's Dr. Art Bomke, a professor in UBC's Faculty of Land and Food Systems. He's been studying the way turkeys are raised and how a concentration of production in so-called factory farms can lead to a rapid spread of diseases such as avian flu.
We end up with a fairly high concentration of birds in a small area. You add to that then a very narrow genetic base of the birds so that if they are susceptible to something, it's very easily passed from one to another. Then the exhaust systems then expel dust and potentially the pathogen then moves to another farm. So
Yona Sipos is a doctoral student in the Land and Food Systems faculty. She says if people are concerned about conventional poultry products, they should take a good look at the alternatives, such as organic, free-range, or free-run turkeys, even if those alternatives are not necessarily a guarantee of sustainability.
It does enable the consumer, I think, to have a little bit more of a deeper understanding of what those turkeys or chickens' environments have been like. And some of the concerns about turkey production are the same with anything in the food system. So questions of whether antibiotics or, in the case of other food aspects, of pesticides have been applied, what the use of chemicals are in the processing treatment, and also the scale of production. And so a lot of the locally and alternatively produced foods that we consume are done at a smaller scale, and so just naturally tend to have less problems because there's not as much crowding, or the problems, I guess, are less concentrated.
Such as with waste might be a good issue there with the smaller production facilities and farms. So on your smaller farm, you're more likely to be able to recycle the waste back onto the land in which it originated from, compared to the larger producers.
That last voice you heard was that of Liska Riche, another researcher at UBC who studies the sustainability of the food systems we commonly use in North America. Most turkeys are raised in the same province in which they'll be eaten, but Liska and Yona have been looking at the other foods you may put on your table along with the turkey, including a startling statistic from the World Watch Institute.
That the average food item in North America travels between the 2,500 and 4,000 kilometers to get to your consumer's plate. So the distance that food travels is argued by many to have many negative implications on our environment and our economy. And social ones as well.
I was just going to say, not to mention on the taste of the food as well, because usually when food is transported that far, it was, you know, not the turkeys, but the tomatoes were picked before they were ripe.
And nutritional content as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What did you think when you heard that number?
I thought it was a low estimate.
Low?
I thought that for a lot of food items, it's probably higher.
The pepper that we put on, if you actually look at the spices, do we include that in that figure? So where are these figures based on? I mean, which meal did they analyze, and how is that average obtained?
Yeah, and I think nobody is suggesting that we cut food imports out of our diet. I think there are advantages in maintaining trade linkages for creating a diverse diet, as well as contributing to food security. If your system goes down, if you have trade linkages, you can then call upon those to help you out through tough times. It's just when the global trade system so disadvantages your local agriculture that you have none left. At that stage, then I think we've gone too far in the other direction. And so one of our principles, I would say, in our program here at UBC is that we want to be able to support local agriculture in a meaningful way, in an appropriate way, so that we are not totally dependent on a just-in-time food delivery system that may not always be there.
Okay, so we started by talking turkey, but our conversation quickly ranged to other factors that influence the food we eat and how we depend on large systems that can leave us in the lurch if they fail. You can hear the whole conversation on my podcast, and you can find that on my website. But when you're celebrating Christmas or some other holiday occasion, give some thought to at least one meal where you take the time to investigate where the ingredients come from and how they're produced. A few years ago, I met a farmer who supplies me with all of my turkeys now, and she welcomes me for a chat and a visit to the farm anytime I like. A little connection like that goes a long way. That's food for thought. I'm Don Genova.